But in terms of comparing it to the current prison system, though, would you say that it could be an improvement?
I mean, no, you have to improve a piece of shit.
The Wire.
Last week, the IRD released a comprehensive report on the taxation of the wealthiest New Zealanders. The findings sparked outrage, as it was reported that the wealthiest New Zealanders pay an effective tax rate that was half that of medium income earners. But what is an effective tax rate? What repercussions will this unprecedented report have on New Zealand's tax system? I sat down with Professor Craig Eliff, a former member of the New Zealand Tax Working Group and a professor of tax law at the University of Auckland, to find the answers to these.
So the report was commissioned really as a result of the feedback or the request of the Tax Working Group back in 2018-2019. And one of the recommendations was that it was very hard to understand what would be appropriate tax settings and tax policies when we didn't have a great deal of information about the rate of tax that was paid by different sectors of our population. And in particular, we didn't have a good profile on the rate of tax paid by very wealthy people in New Zealand. And so the report that was commissioned is unusual because it doesn't have assumptions and it doesn't have calculations which are based on sort of general figures. It is actual hard data based on 311 wealthy families and people and individuals. And it shows two things in particular, but in actual fact it shows an awful lot more than two things, but the things that it demonstrates is what is the rate of tax paid versus the taxable income or the statutory rate. So this is the rate of tax that if you're a company, you pay tax at the rate of 28%, so it would show the rate of tax that is being paid on actual taxable income. And it also shows a broader figure that, you know, some commentators have criticized, but it's just an interesting figure to know that as a result of certain concessions that the New Zealand tax system has, particularly the non-taxation of capital gains, it shows when people derive economic income, which is an increase in their net wealth, and that they can derive that economic income as either through realised capital gains, which are actual profits, or through unrealised, which are an increase in the value of their net wealth. And so this figure captures both those two, realised and unrealised gains, and it measures the rate of tax they've actually paid against this increase in their economic income. And I guess that's a figure which has caused the lines to run hot, in an old expression, in the controversy or the debate, because it's a very low number. It's 8 or 9%, which is roughly about a third of what an ordinary taxpayer would pay on their economic income, which Treasury has calculated.
Yeah, and you talked about capital gains tax there. Do you see in the foreseeable future policy coming out from the government to tax capital gains?
Foreseeable future is a longer period of time than the immediate future. I certainly don't see it in the immediate future because it's a divisive political issue. But I think, I guess I look at this from a total tax system perspective, and I look at an aging demographic, and as productive and successful members of our society retire and become beneficiaries and receive transfer payments, then we are going to have a smaller number of productive people generating, when I say productive, everyone's productive, but they are generating income tax, a smaller number trying to support a larger number, and that larger number are going to have increasing health costs and increasing pension costs. So if you look at the simple numbers, then the forecast, the OECD forecast that for both Australia and New Zealand, there will need to be an increase of approximately 5% of tax take as a percentage of GDP over the next 20 to 30 years, which means that the tax system has to change in some way. And so a very long answer to your question, but I think it highly likely at some point in time that, you know, we can't just keep on, I think use the expression, can't just keep on kicking the can down the road. Sooner or later, we have to, a bit like climate change, we have to face up to some of the hard problems of trying to deal with a tax system. And I don't think reliance on taxing labour, which is salary and wages, is sustainable in the longer term. And we, like the rest of the OECD, we must to therefore focus on taxing capital.
Yeah, this is a very interesting point. And I read on the Herald article that you wrote, you talked about how this report kind of exposed that New Zealand doesn't have a progressive tax system. So I was wondering what kind of things we should look for or be implementing or adding if we do want to have a progressive tax system and one that looks after everyone and not just the wealthy.
Yeah. Well, that's right. That for me is the kind of the big takeaway. Because we all kind of vote for a progressive tax system, and what that means is that the more income you earn, the higher rate of tax you pay, because you can afford to contribute a little bit more. And so that's what the progressive tax system does. But if you exclude from income capital income, famously when Canada introduced their capital gains tax, someone said a buck is a buck. If you exclude some of those bucks, then you end up with, and to me that's the absolutely intriguing result of this net wealth study, and it is that actually we have a lot of people who are very wealthy and making lots of money who actually don't actually pay as high a rate of tax. It's not to say, I'm not actually saying that they're doing anything wrong or anything illegal or that they're not paying a lot of tax, because they are, but they're paying tax on their taxable income and not on their capital income. And that means that the system is incentivizing them to invest in assets which produce capital gains rather than taxable income. So there's a whole lot of incentives that are problematic from that perspective. You end up perhaps with people investing in residential property. It's been New Zealand's retirement panacea for decades now. But it actually, apart from employing real estate agents and the odd solicitor, and banks who lend money, you know, that's not really a productive part of our economy. It would be much better if those funds were employed in small and medium-sized businesses or put into the stock exchange, which employ, you know, manufacturing and services and tourism and other productive areas of the economy. So there's a sort of like a picture here that emerges.
You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Which will mean, I think, an increasing need to focus on what is the real tax base here, and is it, you know, are we actually progressive?
That was Professor Craig Eliff about the IRD's new wealth tax report. We'll be back after a short break. Keep it on the B.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.